The word of God for us today is Psalm 119, verse 171. May my lips overflow with praise, for you teach me your decrees. Amen. God reveals who He is and makes His will known to human beings. And this is called revelation. Revelation is divided into general revelation and special revelation. General revelation is the revelation by which God makes Himself known through all things, through the created world. Romans chapter 1, verses 19 to 20 testifies to this. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Here, "they" refers primarily to unrighteous people, but it includes all people. Human beings are without excuse, but there is a limit to how deeply they can know God through general revelation. So God gave His word, the Bible, which records the word of God, is called special revelation. Until the completion of the 66 books of the Bible, which are God's special revelation, God chose people to proclaim His word and people to record it. In today's sermon, I will use the term writers as a general term for both those who proclaim the word and those who recorded it. A representative person is Moses. The words recorded by Moses are the five books from Genesis through Deuteronomy. There's the so-called five books of Moses, and they are also called the law. Even after Moses, God chose people to record His word. As the number of writers increased, the recorded word increased one book at a time, and at last, the 66 books of the Bible were completed. We receive the 66 books of the Bible, God's special revelation, as the Word of God. Of course, the Bible contains things that God did not speak directly, but because all Scripture was written under God's inspiration by people chosen by Him, we receive all the words of Scripture as the Word of God. The psalmist of Psalm 119 was both a reader of Scripture and a writer at the same time. We do not know exactly who he was or in what period he lived, but he too composed Psalm 119 by God's inspiration. We do not know how many books of Scripture had been written by that time, but at the very least, the five books of Moses existed. One thing is certain. The Scriptures written up to that time were not called by names such as Genesis and Exodus as they are today. Nor were they called by the first word as the book title, as in some names of the Hebrew Bible, like "in the beginning" of Genesis. When later writers of Scripture quoted the words of Scripture written before them, they sometimes mentioned the Psalms or the names of prophets, but they never quoted from Genesis through Deuteronomy by mentioning the names of those books or the first word of each book. These names do not appear in Psalm 119 either. However, Psalm 119 contains eight words that mean the word of God. The word "decrees" in today's passage is one of them. Verse 171, "May my lips overflow with praise, for you teach me your decrees." We can see that God taught the psalmist his decrees, that is his word. God is the one who teaches his word. We understand God in many ways, as the creator, the one who grants salvation, the one who is rich in mercy and compassion, and the one who is all-knowing and all-powerful. We have learned in Sunday sermons about God's communicable and incommunicable attributes. When we consider God's attributes and his works, there are bound to be many titles for him. One of them is the one who teaches, the teacher. Isaiah chapter 48, 17 confirms this. God says, I am this or that. Isaiah 48, 17. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. God says that he teaches for our benefit, but what does he teach? He teaches who God is, what the reality of human beings is, and who Jesus is. He also teaches about the journey of salvation, the life of God's people, and the life of Christians. Sometimes God teaches directly, but he also chooses certain people, such as Moses, prophets, priests, and kings, and teaches through them. One day, God called Moses up Mount Sinai. Exodus chapter 21 says, and God spoke all these words. God met Moses face to face and taught him directly, speaking all the words of the Ten Commandments. Then he wrote the Ten Commandments himself on two stone tablets, gave them to Moses, and commanded him to teach the people. Exodus 24:12 says, the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commandments I have written for their instruction. In obedience to God's command, Moses became God's assistant teacher and taught the people. This can be seen in the first half of Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5. These are the words Moses spoke to the people. See, I have taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me. Then why does God teach his people? The second half of Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5 gives the answer. So that you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of it. The land that the people of the Exodus were to possess as their inheritance is, for us today, the place of life that God has allowed us to have. God teaches us so that in this place of life, we may act just as we have learned according to his word. A people and a nation that practice the word are blessed, as God has said. The same is true of a family. But is there any people or nation as a whole that has practiced or is practicing the word enough to please God fully? It is not easy from a human point of view to judge the nations that existed in history and the nations that exist now. Still, it can be said that peoples and nations in which many believe and follow God's word enjoy more freedom, equality, peace, and prosperity than peoples and nations that do not. What we must not forget is that When a people or nation that believes and follows God's word enjoys material abundance, if it loses its original commitment or departs from the word and falls into secular values, and if unrighteous decrees and laws become the pattern of the people's lives, then justice and righteousness in that nation will collapse, and it will lose freedom, equality, peace, and prosperity. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 8 shows that a nation that has received God's word becomes a righteous nation. Deuteronomy 4, 8. These are the words Moses spoke to the people. And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? For any nation, if justice and righteousness are to be firmly established, it must enact and keep a constitution and laws that properly reflect the teaching of God's word in Scripture. For the Republic of Korea to become a nation in which God's justice and righteousness are established, the starting point is for Christians to live in obedience to God's word. And Christians, like Moses, must become God's assistant teachers and teach the next generation so that they too may live according to God's word. Teaching the next generation is God's command. Second half of Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10. Assemble the people before me to hear my words so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land, and may teach them to their children. Let us read this verse by inserting God and the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church into it. The Lord said to the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church, "Assemble the congregation before me, so that God may let the members of the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church hear God's words, and so that the members of the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church may learn to fear God as long as they live in the world, and may teach them to the children of the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church." Children include descendants. If there are grandchildren and great-grandchildren, they are all included. Parents must teach God's word to their children, and church school teachers must teach God's word to children and students. The church has the mission of teaching the word. Jesus, the head of the church, taught. He taught every day in the temple, and he taught without regard to place, on mountains, in fields, and by the lake. Jesus called various people and made them his disciples and taught them. Before his ascension, he told his disciples to, quote, "teach them to obey everything I have commanded you," unquote, to all nations. The book of Acts 5:42 testifies that the disciples taught as the Lord's assistant teachers. Day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. We also must become assistant teachers of the Lord, who is the head of the church and the teacher, and teach. Teaching the Lord's word is the mission of the church. A family of faith, likewise, has the mission of teaching the word. Then the question is whether we can fulfill the role of assistant teachers like Moses and like the Lord's disciples. How can we teach without learning? How can we teach the next generation without learning through sermons, through district Bible studies, and through daily personal meditation on Scripture? The psalmist of Psalm 119 desired to learn from God. Surely not just anyone could become a writer of God's special revelation. Of course, that work was grace freely received from God. But would God entrust that calling to someone who did not live a life set apart from the world? The psalmist of Psalm 119 did not stop after learning the word from God once or twice. He desired to keep learning continually. In Psalm 119, the expression "teach me" appears 9 times with reference to the word. The psalmist must have learned the word while praying to know God's ways and will God's ways and will more deeply until his breathing stopped in this world. We also must pray, "Teach me." The reason we must keep learning the word is not a matter of memory. It is by learning God's word repeatedly and continually that the word becomes embodied in us. I hope you will learn by participating as much as possible, not only in the study worship, in the Sunday worship sermon every week, but also in the Wednesday Bible study and district Bible study every week, the Tuesday intercessory prayer meeting, and Friday prayer meeting every week, the early morning prayer meeting every day, the new believers class, the mature believers class. Even if it is something you learned in the past, try learning it again. Do not end with, "Oh, I completed that course," but continue learning until all of God's word is embodied in you. There is no end to the embodiment of the word. The embodiment of the word is like sanctification. It continues until death. The psalmist of Psalm 119 could not help but praise God because he knew that God's teaching was leading him in the way of life. Let us read verse 171 again. May my lips overflow with praise, for you teach me your decrees. Think about the things for which you have recently thanked and praised God. What are they? You have probably given thanks when something you hoped for and desired was fulfilled. A surgery went well, a disease was healed, you got a job, you were promoted, a contract was signed, you moved, your children did well. Would not everyone who has lived some life of faith give thanks for such things? But how often have you thanked and praised God because he teaches his word to you? May my lips overflow with praise does not mean only praising with song. We can praise with a confession of thanks and with a prayer of thanks. Praise can be offered in many ways, through song, with heart, and through our actions. In whatever way it may be, let us offer grateful praise to God who teaches us his word. Let us praise the Lord at the moment we hear the word and at the moment we meditate on the word. And later, as we ponder that word again, let us praise the Lord again. The Apostle Paul teaches in Colossians that the center of a Christian's worship, fellowship, and life must be the word of Christ. Colossians chapter 3:16 says, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." For the word of Christ to dwell richly among us, we must continue to learn the Lord's word. And with that word, we must teach one another. In the church, teaching is not limited to the older generation teaching the next generation. Since none of us among God's people has the Lord's word fully embodied within us, we must devote ourselves to teaching one another. Husbands and wives should teach one another, and brothers and sisters should teach one another, and fellow church members should devote themselves to teaching one another. Colossians 3:16 teaches that teaching must not end with teaching alone. It teaches that when the word of Christ dwells richly among us, we must praise God. What reason do we have to praise God? Think about Jesus' teaching and life. Jesus, who came into this world as God the Son, fulfilled his mission in order to accomplish the will of God the Father. He became the sacrifice on the cross so that sinners might be restored to a right relationship with God and receive salvation and eternal life. If so, it would have been enough for him simply to come to this earth and become the sacrifice on the cross. So why did he go to the trouble of teaching the word? Before Jesus came to this earth, God the Father taught. Jesus, who came to this earth, taught his disciples and the people just as God the Father did. After Jesus ascended into heaven, God the Holy Spirit taught, and he is still teaching even now. John 14:26. These are the words Jesus spoke to his disciples. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. The disciples learned from the Holy Spirit and taught people as the Lord's assistant teachers. The disciples of the disciples likewise taught people as the Lord's assistant teachers with the help of the Holy Spirit. We too must learn the word and with the help of the Holy Spirit teach the next generation and teach one another as the Lord's assistant teachers. The Lord became the example of teaching so that this teaching of the word might continue on in this way. The reason he became the example is that the word gives us life, gives us the answer for life, protects us, and leads us in the path of righteousness. If we know this, how can we not praise the Lord? Whether God the Father was teaching in the Old Testament era or Jesus was teaching in the New Testament era, the common purpose of the teaching was to lead people to live according to the Word. If we who have received the teaching do not live according to what we have learned, it is like diminishing the grace of the Lord who suffered on the cross. If we look at the cross without the Lord, and if we look at the cross without remembering the Lord's word, we cannot meditate deeply on the Lord's suffering. Isaiah 53:5, which we heard as the call to worship at the beginning of today's service, teaches us why the Messiah Jesus suffered. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Jesus was pierced for our transgressions. Jesus was crushed for our iniquities. Because Jesus was punished, we have peace. And because Jesus was flogged, we are healed. Isaiah 53 is known as the Song of the Suffering Servant. One might think that singing about Jesus' suffering is not fitting, but because sinners who deserve to die have come to receive salvation through Jesus' suffering. His suffering cannot but lead to a song of praise to the Father and the Son. Is it not right for us to praise God, who spoke to us and taught us through the words of Scripture the reason Jesus suffered? Today is Passion Sunday. How do you feel when you think of the suffering of Lord? If your heart is heavy, then the heavier your heart is, the more you should praise the Lord who gave salvation through his suffering and who gave the word of life. And we should devote ourselves all the more to teaching and obeying everything the Lord has commanded. As I said at the beginning, the reason the Bible is special revelation is that it is the word God has taught us. But the highest climax of special revelation, which conveys the will of God, is Jesus incarnate. God sent his one and only Son, Jesus, as a human being, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of heaven and teaching the word. In the Gospel of John, Jesus is testified to as the Logos, the Word. Because Jesus is the Word, he is special revelation. Jesus' life as well is special revelation. Jesus taught people through his word and through his life. The reason Jesus became incarnate was to suffer on the cross and redeem sinners. We must follow the example of the life of Jesus, who is the Word. We must not avoid a life of suffering. Without suffering, there is neither resurrection nor glory. Each of us must take up our own cross and follow the path the Lord walked. That path cannot be walked without self-denial and self-sacrifice. The life of a Christian without self-denial and self-sacrifice is meaningless. That path can be walked only by those who have taken off their own shoes. Even though that path may be difficult and rough, if we trust the Lord who is with us, it is a path we can surely walk. If we walk that path, we will bring the dying back to life, we will save the nation, and we will become Christians worthy of the name and a church worthy of the name. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for teaching us today through Scripture, your special revelation, the word you gave through Moses, the prophets, the disciples, and the writers of the Bible. Help us to remember your command to teach your word to our children and to have them obey it, and Jesus' command to teach all nations to obey his word, so that we may faithfully carry out the mission of teaching. For this purpose, make us people who continually learn and practice the word. As we learn the word through sermons, various forms of Bible study, and personal meditation on the word, help us also to devote ourselves to teaching one another. As we learn the word, help us to praise the Lord who teaches us the word and to regard Jesus who became incarnate on this earth, Jesus who is the Word, as special revelation. And by learning and remembering the life of Jesus, help us to take up our own cross and follow the way of the cross, the way of suffering that the Lord walked. Help us to embody the words so that we may not forget that the Lord was pierced and wounded because of our transgressions and sins, and that our peace and healing came because he was punished and flogged. And so, having taken off our shoes, help us to lead those who are dying in this world to the Father, and to live as the Lord's assistant teachers, witnesses, and writers, proclaiming through our lives the suffering Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.